gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
The Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere to join the party. StephanieMiller.com. The website, check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Big, big day on the Stephanie Miller Show. Eric Bollert, who we love, from Media Matters, on his brand new book, Bloggers on the Bus, How the Internet Changed Politics and the Press.
It really did. The Internet.
And humana. In less than half hour. I'm actually nervous.
It's so cute that you're nervous about.
I'm flustered. I get to fulfill my life dream in less than a half an hour by saying, Los Angeles, hello, Larry King, go ahead.
Hopefully.
Yes.
Addis Ababa, hello.
Larry King on the Celebrity Hotline in less than half an hour.
Hopefully.
Jimmy had the best Twitter ever yesterday. What was it, Chris?
Whatever happened to galoshes?
I may do the whole interview on that.
So perfect.
Okay.
Yeah, twitter.com/kingsthings if you want more gems like that.
Oh, loves me some Lair. All right. How do you interview the best interviewer in the world? I'm a little, you know, I'm barely sober at this hour. All right. He has a new book out, My Remarkable Journey. Hello.
And you talked to a celebrity yesterday.
Who?
You just told me before the show.
Who?
Kennedy.
Wow. Oh, that's right. I talked to Robert Kennedy Jr. yesterday.
Yes.
That
oh.
was very exciting. Cool. He wants to meet me. I'm going to a thing to see him this week here in L.A.
That's very, very cool.
It was very exciting. I always think I'm being prank called. I'm like, oh, it is not a Kennedy. Oh, okay. All right. Lots of big news going on, including the boner.
Yeah.
Jim, pay attention. Here's the important thing. Not that the Bush administration lied to Congress to get us into an unnecessary and illegal war that killed thousands of Americans in Iraq. He's no.
Lying to the Congress of the United States is a crime. And if the speaker is accusing the CIA and other intelligence officials of lying or misleading the Congress, then she should come forward with evidence.
And
yeah,
she will.
I was just going to say I would stay tuned there because there's some... some developing news, as Tom Brokaw would say on that. That's very interesting. The president, his first meeting with the Israeli prime minister yesterday, Netanyahu, talking about Iran.
The important thing is to make sure that there is a clear timetable of at which point we say these talks don't seem to be making any serious progress.
All right, another giant mess that the Bush administration has left for Barack Obama.
Although Netanyahu and Obama can't come to terms on whether it should be a two-state solution.
Yeah, they can't come to terms on anything.
Yeah.
This is my point, another giant mess that George Bush has left. May I tell you why? We'll get into this later. But may I tell you why? Because, first of all, we've said this over and over again. They're the ones that rushed the elections and they got Hamas elected. So this is the farthest apart I think we've ever been in, you know, Israeli-Palestinian...
Yeah, but Netanyahu is a far-right nutcase.
Exactly. We're the farthest apart we've been on settlements, on... recognizing a two-state solution.
And I still kind of resent him saying that 9/11 was very good for Israel. He backtracks. Oh, yeah, it was a terrible tragedy, blah, blah, blah. But, thanks. Wasn't so great for us, pal.
Yeah.
All right. But obviously the biggest news of the day, it's Jim Ward's 50th birthday.
Who's that?
50 years ago today.
Right. As someone said on the live blog, AAR apocryphal but true.
Jim Ward's new website.
Get off my lawn!
Shano in Pittsburgh with a tribute to our deity.
Hey now. Well, a happy birthday to me, oh my. Mr. McFeelpants, you say it's your birthday. Your constant mockery and insolence does not please me. So you can go your birthday.
Happy birthday, Mr.
Squeezy.
Well, how do you do?
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, Jim Ward. Gosh, doesn't it make you wish we were back in the old studio with the Spankomatic 2000 so that I could give you a proper happy birthday?
Actually, Janice sang that to me last night.
Did she?
Happy birthday, Mr. President.
That's the first time we've ever identified her by her correct name.
I believe so.
Oh, you've never, we call her Janiqua or...
Your Janush. Girlfriend, Juniper?
Janush.
What followed the birthday rendition?
None of your damn business.
Mm. Oh, hello.
About. Well, it just became everyone's business, didn't
yes.
it?
Yes.
Okay.
Cake.
Let's
but you were only 49 yesterday.
That's true.
Yeah,
who
now
ate,
you're 50.
Who ate cake from where?
Oh.
Dude.
Let's check some news. We don't want to lose. Here we go.
Yippee. It's time for stand-up news. And now, here's anchor person, Stephanie Miller.
Thank you. When news breaks here, it stays broken. Our top story, did you?
Oh, my God.
Taking a gander at MikeHuckabee.com recently.
Oh, my God.
That's a special sort of crazy, isn't it? He wrote a poem.
A poem?
About it's Nancy Pelosi. It's
not much
maybe,
of a poem.
It's many stanzas.
Kind of a low coup. It's not really,
yes.
Yeah, not
it's
highbrow
a,
enough to be a haiku.
Is he trying to do Beverly Hillbillies? It starts, here's a story about a lady named Nancy, a ruthless politician, but dressed very fancy.
Huh?
Oh, see, he rhymed there. Very ambitious, she got herself elected speaker, but as for keeping secrets, she proved quite a leaker.
Oh, God.
She flies on government planes coast to coast and doesn't mind that our economy is toast.
He's not even trying to keep a rhythm here.
No, and then it goes on and on and on. Seven stanza. I say it here, and he ends with I say it rather clear. It's time for Nancy Pelosi to resign and get out of here. Oh, that's a little Susie in there. That is, wow.
It's, well, let's see the all the documents.
There is no kind of pentameter there.
I believe Nancy wrote him a poem back.
A Republican has-been named Huck wrote of me, "Hey, Nancy, you suck." He was not only blamey, he channeled Dick Cheney and said that myself I should, you know.
Oh!
But like all these Republican hacks, it's brains and refinement he lacks. May I make referral to the fact he ate squirrel and grew up in tar paper shacks? Let him bitch about CIA leaks, I care not a fig for his squeaks. The CIA lied, now his party is fried and looks like a barrel of freaks. And with that, I will end my back sass. Why argue with such who lack class? He can cry about this or that barrel of piss. In the end, he can kiss my lib ass.
I like that one better. Not many 50-year-old voice guys do Nancy Pelosi. You know
no,
what I'm
saying? That is true.
Yeah.
They want to, but...
Didn't some caller yesterday say she has a nice rack?
Well,
I don't understand why that's appropriate.
She's a grandmother.
For God's
sake.
She's a
hot granny.
All right, and finally.
Who? I don't know. I don't know that term around.
Finally,
hot granny.
News.
Ah, she's very attractive.
Out of Beijing.
Maybe for people who are 50.
People who just got their AARP cards.
Yeah, exactly.
You know that John Lennon never made 50? That's so weird.
Wow, you've outlived John Lennon.
Yeah.
News out of Beijing, finally, this investment turned out to be as risky as it was risque. A sex theme park that featured explicit exhibits of genitalia and sexual culture is being demolished before it can even open, said a government spokesman in China. The park christened Loveland by its owners went under the wrecking ball, I said ball, over the weekend. Exhibits had included a giant-sized reproductions of male and female anatomy.
Why does
Sounds
someone
like
need...
the studio we used to work in.
Yeah, well...
and sex technique workshops.
Oh,
we have
workshops.
The,
wow.
I think, believe the government spokesman?
No, this is the guy who's trying to put the park together.
Yeah, that guy.
Oh, it just goes to show how the government is stuck in the old ways of repression and control. If they were so into capitalism, why did they destroy private property? Or in this case, private property. They get in the way of fruitful intercourse and put a big obstacle in the way of naked truth about Chinese society. It's a betrayer of the old socialist ideas as well. For once, the proletariat had possession of the means of reproduction. Get it? And they want to destroy it. My theme park was in the spirit of the barefoot doctors that used to go into the countryside during the Cultural Revolution. We just took the bare part a little further. And we're going into the countryside, back, front, top, or bottom, whatever.
Hey.
Like Chairman Mao said, the unification of our country, the unity of our people, and the unity of our various nationalities. These are the basic guarantees of the sure triumph of our cause. So how much more unified can you get when you make the lobster Cantonese with two backs? When the people find out that my educational pleasure park was closed down, this gonna backfire on the authorities. As Confucius once said, government who lose key to people's hearts get no new key. You're gonna be some hard up, hard asses. Chai-chan.
That's all for stand-up news. I'm here all week. Tell your friends if you'd like more Jim Ward, 50-year-old Falderall.
Check out Jim Ward's Apocryphal But True, or AARP But True.
AARpocryphal But True.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tyler at StephanieMiller.com.
Oh, okay. Were you having a brain fart there?
Yeah.
A senior moment?
Oh, a senior moment.
Yeah.
Ooh, between my Chardonnay and his age.
Where's the onion on my belt? I remember when...
Chris in Chicago for the birthday boy. Hello, Chris.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy birthday, and it's all downhill from here. That's all I can tell you. Things stop working. Things stop hurting. What was they talking about?
All right, Chris. Tim and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on our friends on the Fox News. Hi, Tim.
Good morning. You know, want to wish happy birthday to Jim.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm watching the Foxes this morning, which gives me a migraine anyway, but then they had Jesse Ventura on.
Mm-hmm.
He said waterboarding was torture. He had to be waterboarded for SEAL training. He said, if you've ever been waterboarded, you know what it's like. It is torture. It makes you think of all new things, and said that he's fine now, but still, he remembers it very vividly. And I don't remember his name. He's the one with the broomstick so far up at his anus that he can't move correctly anymore. The little blonde or bald one, dark hair. I don't remember his name anyway.
That's certain who we're talking about.
It's pretty much a talking broomstick. He was just repeatedly saying how, you know, waterboarding can't be torture. If it was torture, then why don't we just torture all our prisoners and our jail system or gang members and stuff like that?
Are you referring to Brian Kilmeade?
Yes, that's it.
He's not bald.
I don't know.
Well, not bald, black hair. I don't know.
Okay. He's one of the Fox and Freaks.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, exactly.
Freaks. Well,
he's Brian of Brian and the Judge.
Oh,
yes.
Sure. Yeah. Well, Tim, we have Larry King coming up in just a few minutes. And did you see Jesse Ventura on Larry King? Because it was great. He said, you know, that was the best line. He said, give me Dick Cheney in 1 hour and a waterboard, and I'll have him confess to the Sharon Tate murders.
Yeah.
I did see that. And you know what? That's one of the other reasons why I'm listening today, just for Larry King.
Thank you, as you should. Hello. God. Please call and
Wouldn't
say hello.
Great. Jesse Ventura waterboarded Cheney. That would just be...
See, that would be even bigger than this. They could do a double with Sean Hannity.
Yes.
Think of how much money they could raise for the troops that they love so much by sending them into unnecessary
war. He was getting close to waterboarding Sean Hannity last night, because he was on Hannity last night.
Who? Ventura?
Ventura was. Oh. Yes, and they went at it.
I don't think that would be a fair fight.
That would be great. Let Jesse Ventura waterboard, what do you call it? Hey, I bet you'll keep Olbermann up the money he's going to pay.
Hey, Baron, my God. You want a piece of me? Come on. Come on, Mr. Poof. Ow.
Yeah, Ventura is a wall of muscle, and Hannity is a wall of goo. Yeah.
I think Hannity may be waterboarded eventually anyway, since he doesn't believe in global warming. He'll be underwater doing his talking points at some point. Okay, nobody throw him a life preserver. 20 minutes after the hour, you just won't believe what Republicans are saying about Nancy Pelosi.
I will
tell you the explosive development, in my opinion, as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
May cause dizziness, sexual nightmares, and sleep crime.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
I get my kids above the waistline, sunshine.
It is the... Why? Because no one's offering to give me kicks below the waistline. 24 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. John in Grand Rapids, Michigan, with another edition of What the Fox? Hi, John.
Hi, got my AARP kit 3 weeks ago.
Oh.
Yes, it's, rite of passage. Anywho, watching, going through like a waiting room where they play the that channel, Fox News.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just listening to this blurb, and the guy says, yeah, Nancy Pelosi, da-da-da, and it's a downturn in the stock market because of her. Well, maybe we can't blame it on her. And I looked up at the TV, and he kept talking about something else, but I think they were showing, like, the negative stock market signs next to an unflattering picture of her.
Well, of course. What?
God.
What the fuck?
I'm so glad she's driving the stock market.
Yeah.
And if that's what they're using to do their trading, hey, let's give them some more bailout money. I'll listen as I go.
All right. Thank you, honey.
Propaganda for morons.
Yep.
My God.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, meanwhile, here's what I thought is the breaking news, the interesting development. You know, Jim, you mentioned this. I don't know what the truth is, but it seems interesting to people that are happy to have everything come out, as opposed to the people that aren't. Right away, that makes me a little suspicious. Pelosi has called on the CIA to release documents showing what she was told by the agency, even suggesting she'd be open to an examination of her own claim as part of a so-called Truth Commission. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell says he does not want the conflict to go that far.
Interesting.
Because you guys thought would involve the ordering of the Code Red and the whatever, the war crimes on the Bush administration, all that stuff.
Classified information, for example, the fact that I'm a big fat liar.
Exactly.
You ordered the Code Red.
I did the job.
Did you order the Code Red?
Damn right I did!
As Politico reported Friday, Democratic insiders say that before Pelosi claimed Thursday that the CIA had misled her, her office dispatched an aide to CIA headquarters to independently verify what she was told during the 2002 briefing based upon notes from the meeting. Quote, unquote, said the ally, Pelosi would not say what she did without checking it first. And so, as we know,
what?
She did not back away from her claim that she was not told in 2002 that they had waterboarded
Abu Zubaydah.
Exactly.
Good
you
Lord
know my
Abba
point.
Abba Zabba Dabba Doo.
Anyway, interesting. I just find this all interesting, as does our friend Hillary
Rosen. So she
Rosen.
Wanted to check the facts before she talked about it.
Before she actually talked about it.
Interesting.
You know, the CIA had, lied to President Bush about the existence of weapons of mass destruction. I mean, the CIA uses whatever they can to justify the position. Now, Leon Panetta, I think, is getting the CIA and the intelligence units under control, but when other people who were briefed in those times said that there was ambiguous information. So this whole thing about Speaker Pelosi is just really a distraction for Republicans now.
Yeah, and let's say they're doing a good job at it. However, this may blow up in their face.
How long do they want to push this?
I know.
If it looks like she's going to be vindicated.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Keep going to try to.
How is Fox News
going to
cover this? If she, you know what I mean? If she's proved to be right, how do they ignore Senator Bob Graham, who's backing up her story?
Clearly, the facts have a liberal bias. I hate facts.
Mm-hmm. No, but you're right. The more they keep this in the news, good. The more torture is in the news, and the more what the Bush administration ordered is in the news. All right, 28 minutes after the hour. Hamana. Almost time to say Los Angeles. Hello.
Hello.
Larry King, do you have a question for me? Larry King, the man, the myth, the legend, is next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Why would I lie about my age? I'm in the entertainment industry.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere to join the party. Woo! As all you know that listen every day, thank God I barely show up sober here every morning. Thank God I don't have to do anything really important, Chris, like interview the best interviewer in the world. That would be, that would be nerve-wracking. Why, who is it, Chris?
It's the author of My Incredible Journey, Larry King.
Oh, no. Good morning, Larry King.
Well, first, Chris immediately makes an error. It's My Remarkable
My
Journey.
Remarkable Journey. I was looking for my paper. I'm so sorry.
It's not incredible. It's remarkable.
Remarkable
and
Journey.
Stephanie, I knew that this morning, for me, you'd be sober.
Thank you, Larry. I
called George Slaughter and told him she's going to be sober this morning.
I finally have you on my turf, Larry.
By the way, Stephanie, when I list my among my favorite guests, you're on the list, Stephanie.
Oh, Larry King, I couldn't be more flustered this morning.
Every time I see that you're on, I'm happy because you're vivacious, you're lovely, you're funny, and it doesn't matter your opinion. That's one of the things I write about in my remarkable journey.
I'm so sorry, Larry.
It's okay. I'll never talk
Thanks
to you
Thanks a
again.
Lot, Chris.
Chris, say goodbye.
Okay, bye.
Bye, Larry.
You're fired.
One of the things I talk about is what you want in a guest is what you have. Patience, the ability to explain what you do very well, passion, and a sense of humor. You have all those things, Stephanie. You're a great guest.
I'm flustered like a schoolgirl, Larry. How do you interview the best interviewer in the world? What would you do if you were me right now?
You ask what you know what you do. You forget all that, and you ask whatever comes to your mind.
All right.
In other words, what about me are you curious about?
See, now I've told this story on the air before. You get me to be a good guest on your show. You sing show tunes to me in hair and makeup. So that's how you...
Correct. I do. I like to sing.
Mm-hmm.
There are three... If I weren't doing this... I would like to be a stand-up comic, which I'm going to do in Las Vegas, by the way, in June.
Are you really?
At the Encore. Steve Wynn has seen me work at conventions, and I'm going to do two nights.
I'm coming.
My wife, Shawn, is going to open. She sings, great singer, and then I'm going to follow and do an hour of stand-up.
I'm so there.
In Danny Gann's room.
Because you started at, I read that in your book, you started at Sam Maltz's Candy Store doing your stand-up.
Sam Maltz's Candy Store. I did stand-up there. Sam Maltz. We drove him crazy. Drove him to drink, and I think we killed him. I'll tell you a quick story what we did to Sam Maltz.
Were you either pelted with Werther's if you had
there was a big song at the time, Wild Goose, Frankie Lane.
Uh-huh.
And Sam Maltz used to complain we didn't spend money in his candy store. We sat in the booth, we didn't spend money. The jukebox was a nickel. We all came in with nickels and played Wild Goose all day. And here's how it went. My heart knows where the wild goose knows. I must go where the wild goose goes. Wild goose, brother goose, which is best? I must go where the wild... And Sam Maltz started throwing malted machines. And finally, he pulled the jukebox out of the... He pulled the plug out, slammed it to the floor, and threw us out. Go with your wild goose. Go.
Wow. Do you have some stories? Now, you know, here's the thing. I told this on the air once, too, is a listener called and said, I had to miss you on Larry King last night. I was watching baseball. And I said, so was Larry King. Because
that's true. I've watched baseball while you're on the air.
You do?
While I'm talking to you because it's on the monitor.
And you're such a natural at this. They'll be like, Larry, the King Abdullah's coming up. You're like, how are the Dodgers doing? Like, you're just...
Well, that's my passion. That's my avocation. The best way to explain it is what George Will told me once, the great writer George Will. Conservative, but great, Stephanie.
I understand.
Okay. He said, I'll tell you how big a baseball fan I am. If the headline in the Washington Post said, George Will's secret sex life revealed, he said, I would first turn to the Cub box score.
Because, now, you have a famous story recently. I've met you've had your little sons on the set before, but you got thrown out of a Little League game for fighting with an umpire.
Chance, yeah, well, it was embarrassing. But no, not really. I was right! Anyway,
that's the important thing.
There was a forced play at second that was going to end the game. My son's team was winning by 2 runs. And the umpire said nothing. Didn't say safe, didn't say out. I said, call something. He said, I didn't see it. So if I didn't see it, we go back to where we were. We do it over. Do over? Do over? This game counts. Do over. I said, you are nuts. And he said, you are gone. Go back to CNN. I got banned for 2 games.
Wow.
This is how tough they are. Beverly Hills Little League. Couldn't go to the game. I had to sit in a car outside the fence and have a friend give me the score to 10-year-olds. I lose it. I can't help it. When I watch my kids play ball, it just kills me.
That, you know, you got to give that umpire. That takes some nads to throw Larry King out of a baseball game. I got to tell him.
I've gotten to like him. I've gotten pretty friendly with him. And, you know, I understand he's still not the greatest umpire.
He still sucks. Larry, one of my favorite stories in your book, My Remarkable Journey, is the book. You took your kids trick-or-treating, and they dressed in Larry King masks and suspenders.
Did. What happened was there was a store in New York that made 1 year Larry King masks, and it looked like me. And you bought glasses with it, and so they wore suspenders. And going with them was Sharon Stone's little boy, whose birthday is the same age as my 8-year-old, who'll be 9 Friday.
Right.
And so they all went up, rang the bells, Larry King, and I was standing outside. And people looked at them and looked up at them and thought they were crazy.
That's like a Fellini film.
Want a quick Beverly Hills? This is only in Beverly Hills,
yes,
right?
All right.
My son will be 9 on Friday, mm-hmm. for he and his friends... They're taking a stretch limo to Dodger Stadium.
Oh.
Just the way we grew up in Brooklyn. me and Herbie and Sid and Asher, we'd get in a limo every week and go see the Dodgers.
Your kid's not having quite the hard scrabble life that you did.
You know what I got to do, Stephanie?
Yeah.
When I come back, maybe next week, I'm going to get up in the morning. I always get up early anyway, take the kids to school. I'm going to come down and sit with you and Chris. How about I come over and do an hour with you?
Oh, boy.
That would be awesome.
Again, we don't have enough to mention the book.
Listen, for me.
Well, maybe.
We will mention the book correctly. That's
all like right, I'm going to come next week.
Oh, that's like an audience with the Pope for me. Now,
trust me, I'm not the Pope.
I'm flustered again. Now, you started your radio show in Miami out of a deli?
Well, no, I started interviewing out of Pumpernick's, it was a restaurant deli, and the first guest, in fact, there's a picture in the book of me and Bobby Darin. I never knew that picture existed, but he was the first famous person that walked in. He was no one booked him. He came in, and I put him on. I liked interviewing that way. You know, I didn't plan it, and I got to really like him very much, and that it all started at Pumpernick's.
Wow. Now, let me just warn you before you come down here, the food is not quite as good.
Anyway, I got to run, Stephanie. You know, I got Guiding Light right behind me. But I am making you a promise. I will call you when I get back. I'll be back Saturday. I'll call you Monday. I'm coming over next week, and I'm going to take over.
Yikes.
Oh,
yikes.
Wow.
Just one bit of advice.
Yes.
Chris, stay home.
Okay, I will, Larry. I will.
Okay, Chris. My unusual journey.
My
remarkable life.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you have time for one more question, or you have to go?
Quick, Stephanie.
All right. I understand that Miss California stiffed you. She didn't show up on your show.
She canceled. I didn't know the reason. They didn't give us a reason.
Wow. See, and I just want to tell you, you don't ever. I showed up last time, just so you know. I had swine flu and the Ebola virus. You don't ever not show up for you.
That's right. And you also gave the swine flu to my staff. Thanks a lot.
Yes, I apologize. I'm
You'll
sorry.
Never be back.
Hope you're okay. I'll see you next week, Larry. Thank you.
Bye.
Yay! Oh, my God.
Wow. That's great.
Oh. Do you think he's really going to do that?
That
I'm
was the
nervous.
Worst on-air boneheaded move of my life.
Yeah, way to go, Chris.
Yes,
okay.
Thanks. Thanks for mentioning my book, My Embarkable Gurney. Great work.
I'll just be over here.
All right. And I... And I forgot.
Yes, I would like fries with that.
Yeah, can you believe this? Miss California. Yeah, didn't show up for Larry King. She was apparently celebrating her 22nd birthday in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And when she was scheduled to be a guest. And apparently she was partying too hard. And
she got too drunk.
Yeah. Mm. I love this. Asked if he thought the beauty queen's co-hosting on Fox and Friends later this month was a factor in canceling her slot. King replied, I don't care. Love him. Love him.
They probably told her, no, don't go there. It's in New York.
Actually, my favorite line in this story, which shows what's happened with America today, last week, Deal or No Deal briefcase model Sarah Brunson spoke out against Prechin's stance on same-sex marriage. What?
What?
Who cares about Deal or No Deal briefcase model's views on gay marriage? There's a briefcase model on Deal or No Deal that has some other thoughts on gay marriage or
whatever.
Something.
Contestant on The Price is Right from 40 years ago has an opinion on something.
The woman whose boobs flopped out of her tube top. Yeah, she had something to say about it.
All right. Oh, the briefcase model from Deal or No. Oh,
no,
well.
There are like 25 or 30 briefcase models, so she's
Which one?
Exactly.
All right. 42 of
Wow.
Wow.
42 minutes after the hour.
Each one is making 10 times as much money as we are.
All right. 42 minutes after the hour, back with the latest on the Pelosi. It's the torture scandal as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my. How ruthlessly absurd.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 47 minutes after the hour. Damn it. I forgot to ask Larry King about when Mikhail Gorbachev showed up for dinner wearing suspenders. Damn it. Next time. All right. Hopefully he'll be in studio like he promised us. Oh, that is threatening. I am nervous already. All right, so the, I don't
You're
know.
So nervous around Larry King.
I know, I'm like a schoolgirl when I go. And I go there.
He's funny.
Yeah, he is. All right, and I love there was another story in the book about how he got a call from the King of Jordan while he was at eating dinner at Mr. Chow's in Beverly Hills. That's only Larry King. That happens, too. All right. Also in the book, you got to get this book. He got in a traffic accident with John F. Kennedy.
Wow.
He's
lived a life.
Yes. It's a remarkable journey, in fact. The name of the book. All right. So the torture scandal, which the Republicans, of course, are calling the Nancy Pelosi scandal. Heating up. Representative John Larson, Democrat of Connecticut.
I think, it perhaps wasn't one of her best press conferences, but certainly everybody in this caucus understands and stands behind her moral suititude and her ability to lead in our caucus.
Yeah, they think they're going to shame her into resigning before all the facts come out. No.
Yeah. Exactly. In fact, that's what I was saying, when we started this off. Her saying, let's have the facts come out, makes me feel like she's a little more confident than the Republicans like Mitch McGinnis or who are saying, no.
We don't want the facts to come out because the facts clearly have a liberal bias.
We don't want the investigation to go any farther.
The facts would tend to indicate that I have no upper lip, but clearly that's not the case.
Exactly. The boner, this was rich. We played this off the top of the show. Lying to Congress, you see, Jim, about fictional weapons of mass destruction to get us into an unnecessary war that killed thousands of Americans and Iraqis. That, I guess, not so bad. But
lying to the Congress of the United States is a crime. And if the speaker is accusing the CIA and other intelligence officials of lying or misleading the Congress, then she should come forward with evidence.
Look, it's already been shown. They indicated that Graham had been in these hearings when he clearly wasn't. He keeps very meticulous notes on everything he does.
Yep.
Rachel Maddow was following him around. It was absurd.
Yeah, exactly.
It's almost a fetish for him to write down every single thing he does.
Yes. Normally only like 12-year-old girls keep diaries, but apparently Senator Graham, meticulous. Senator Webb, Jim Webb said, I think this will resolve itself. I don't think it's a big deal. He went on to accuse Republicans of pushing the story in order to avoid the issues of accountability in terms of the last administration. The boner again.
And if that is not the case, then I think she owes our intelligence community an apology.
That should be at the top of her list.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah, that's what I...
Changing the subject should be at the top of her list. Look over there. It's at the top of her list. I'll cry again. I will.
That's what I mean. See, this is, the Republicans are just trying to keep this in the news cycle and keep it about Nancy Pelosi. But, I agree with you, Jim. It's like, good. Keep going. Because the more you keep talking about it,
Let's see everything.
Yeah, exactly. How would you investigate Nancy Pelosi without investigating the Bush administration?
And Cheney.
Thank you. And the it's like what did we play Hillary Rosen yesterday saying Nancy Pelosi is not responsible for the lying of the last 8 years that got us into this unnecessary war. Mitch McGinnis,
the CIA director, was pretty specific. Our contemporaneous records from September 2002 indicate that CIA employees briefed truthfully on the interrogation of Abu Zubaydah, describing the enhanced techniques that had been employed. I mean, we know what the CIA believes.
And I also showed that they interviewed Sasquatch and the Loch Ness Monster about the whereabouts of the Lindbergh baby.
You know what? Once again, we've had edition after edition of, that dick. Dick Cheney's been on TV every other day, and we keep saying, why doesn't anyone challenge him? Speaking of lying, this story that keeps breaking, what about the Al-Libi thing? Has anyone on these interviews said, Mr. Vice President, it's clear that you were lying about Al-Libi's claims?
He will only go on shows that give him softball questions.
Right, but the CIA told you that was bogus, that he recanted this because it was under torture, that he talked about a connection between Saddam and Al-Qaeda.
Should be nice to talk to Al-Libi about. Oh, wait, he's dead.
Oh,
how convenient.
Yeah, he killed himself.
Supposedly.
You expect Neil Cavuto to ask him tough questions like that? Ain't going to happen.
Leon Panetta, the CIA director.
Where it becomes so divisive that it begins to interfere with the ability of these intelligence agencies to do our primary job, which is to focus on the threats that face us today and tomorrow.
Except some of the intelligence agencies see as their duty to lie to get us into an unnecessary war.
Mm-hmm. Well, exactly.
And other people who are trying to prevent that
And this
fired.
Is not focused on the work the CIA is doing now. It is what were they ordered to do during the Bush administration. That's what what this is all about. Bill O'Reilly, our friend.
We haven't seen many Democrats stick up for Pelosi. We did a search, and very few Democrats. Now, the loons, the far-left loons in the media...
Huh?
You know, of course.
Oh, yeah.
But we were looking for, you know, liberal people sticking up for Pelosi, like, you know, what's his name in Vermont? Leahy.
What's his name?
These Conyers in Michigan. Nothing. Silence. And I don't know if Nancy Pelosi now can survive. I don't think they're going to throw her out of the office, because I think that would be a tremendous embarrassment for the Democratic Party. But I think her power... Her power is a lot less today, Monday, than it was last Monday.
Wow. This really is stunning.
And
so,
I also think I just pulled that directly out of my ass.
Yeah, far-left loons like Senator Jim Webb.
Yeah.
First of all, I think a lot of Democrats are not speaking on this because they don't want to contribute to making her the story.
Right, exactly.
Because she's not the story. She, you know, she doesn't need defending. It's like she has said, release the briefing papers. Mm-hmm. Let's do a truth commission. So at this point, what do you need to say exactly? Unless, you know, believe me, I realize that I'm part of making this a story. But as you know, I'm not that bright. The Republicans make a story, and then, unfortunately, this is what happens. I got to go on TV, and then you're talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And you feel like you've got to present your side, and yet you're keeping it in the news cycle. That it's about... I'm just, you know what? I'm no better than Mary Catherine Hamm, Chris.
Oh, God.
The
pug-faced far-right blogger?
Yes, the O'Reilly girl.
I think the Speaker of the House is always an important person in Washington. I think she has ended up looking like a charlatan. I think that Leon Panetta has ended up looking like a stand-up guy. And Obama, by allowing Leon Panetta to go out there and defend the CIA, has ended up looking good. Cheney and Panetta are on the same side of this argument. If you look at polls, I think you see that even though people are split on partisan levels about whether the CIA is lying to Pelosi, they're not split on whether enhanced interrogation techniques are sometimes justified. They're pretty solid on that. And I think that shows that, unlikely, Cheney is winning a popularity contest
against Nancy Pelosi.
Dick Cheney is winning a popularity contest?
Computer says no.
By the way, the poll she refers to, 43% say it's somewhat likely Pelosi was lied to about the use of waterboarding. 41% say that the CIA likely did not mislead Pelosi. So it's actually slightly more people that think she probably was lied to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hannity.
The water is creeping up towards the head of the Speaker of the House tonight as it becomes more and more clear that Nancy Pelosi isn't being forthcoming about what she knew and when she knew it. And that is our headline this Monday night, the sinking San Francisco Speaker.
That's your headline.
Yeah.
Torture is good. It was great. It saved lives. And what did she know about it? When did she know it? And why didn't she tell anyone about this great thing that's worked so well? I just lost my own argument.
I think that's why there's that annoying music behind him, so it will prop up his rather weak arguments.
That could be.
Wow. Hannity again.
You see, I think she's now a huge liability. I think just for national security purposes, she's got to go. Because, first of all, she lied and then got caught, and then she accused the CIA of lying, which effectively renders them impotent in doing their job and keeping us safe, which I think really renders her, she's not qualified for this position.
Wow, she's our biggest threat to national security.
Yes, Nancy Pelosi.
Nancy Pelosi is.
The San Francisco liberal.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God.
Wow. See, this is, you know, I like I say, keep on going down this road, because this is exactly what we want to talk about. We want to talk about the torture and who ordered it.
Right.
And once again, in my mind, she didn't criticize the CIA. She criticized what the CIA was ordered to do by the Bush administration on weapons of mass destruction and on torture. That's the big story. 57 minutes after the hour, the president's first meeting with the Israeli prime minister and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Eric Bollert, senior fellow at Mean of Matters for America, coming up on the Celebrity Hotline to talk about his new book, Bloggers on the Bus, How the Internet Changed Politics and the Press. Lots of big news going on. And by the way, we will re-air Larry King in hour number three.
Yep.
Why? Because he's Larry King, for God's sakes. And he is hilarious. All right. Lots going on, of course, in the torture debate about Nancy Pelosi. Hillary Rosen, our friend, thank God, is catching the irony, and Newt Gingrich talking about this.
Newt Gingrich, who was run out of the House and violated House ethics rules and paid fines and had to resign in disgrace, all of a sudden is opining on whether Nancy Pelosi is a good speaker. What she has consistently said is, The CIA and the Bush administration led us to war under false pretenses. Now we're going to say that just because the Democrats were told at the time of what they said, that all of a sudden it's Nancy Pelosi that was responsible for the lies for the last 8 years? No, not going to happen. This spin is not going to work of you guys blaming the speaker for this.
Yeah.
It's your birthday. The president yesterday at his meeting with Netanyahu on Iran.
As I said, by the end of the year, I think we should have some sense as to whether or not these discussions are starting to yield significant benefits.
And thank goodness for us, Michael Steele still in the hizzy, talking about
Lord.
The rebranding of the GOP. You'll like this. Apparently they think they have core ideals.
We've got to coalesce around some core ideas.
Good idea.
And
some
core vision for this party, which is what I'm laying out this week. And we're going to move forward.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, I'll either win you over or I won't.
Yeah.
I don't have time to stop and really figure that out for you.
Confucius says no.
He doesn't have time to figure anything out.
Yeah.
He just talks.
He's not really that effective a leader, is he?
That's why I like it. That's why they need to stick with him.
Does anybody have any core principles? Because I can use some.
Anybody?
Buying if you're selling.
They have any on eBay?
The big story of the day, of course. Jim Ward is 50. Jim in New Haven writes, dear voice deity, happy birthday. Nifty, nifty, the voice deity's 50. Thank you so much for being you and Darth Cheney and George W. Bush and K to the J and President Obama, all the Rolling Stones. Charlie Rangel, you get the idea.
Yes.
He's everybody.
Charlie Rangel.
So on this special day, a special thank you and sincere wishes for a stellar birthday. Just don't go yourself with it. Bark, bark, Sheboygan, Flavin, Jim in New Haven, the official metamorphic petrologist of the Stephanie Miller Show. Mm-hmm. Yikes. And oops. And for Suzanne in New Haven, the official wife who sleeps through the Stephanie Miller Show and gets updates from her husband. What a lazy biatch. All right. Happy birthday, Jim.
Thank you.
For you, I have a special science stack, which is also a beaver stack. Yes. Scientist discovers beaver building prime salmon habitat in Washington. We should have sent Jim on a day trip for his birthday.
Beaver building a fish habitat?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Something fishy about this beaver story.
It smells.
A scientist goes looking for a shrub and discovers
and
a nearly
talk about me.
discovers a nearly lost world of tidal beaver. Do you like tidal beaver?
Tidal beaver.
Have you? It sometimes happens with science. Greg Hood went looking for one thing and found something else, tidal beaver. Just about everyone knows about freshwater beaver.
Oh, sure. Who hasn't?
Yeah.
I got that out back in my pool.
Sure. Most people are more accustomed to that than the tidal beaver, a little more rare.
Yeah.
What Hood found in the Skagit River Delta was something else, not a different species of beaver. Genetically speaking, one thriving in a different place, the tidal scrub shrub zone. These tidal wetlands.
Scrub the shrub of your tidal beaver.
These tidal wetlands were among the first to be diked.
Oh, it doesn't say that, does it?
Really?
It does too.
Wow.
they were diked nearly out of existence in the Puget Sound country as the region developed.
Hmm. Beaver was nearly diked out of existence.
Page two.
Hmm.
The.
tragic.
But the beaver provided. The beaver provided the exciting discovery. Searching scientific literature, Hood could not find a single reference on tidal beaver in the U.S. What he discovered was the beaver were, well, busily creating a nearly ideal rearing habitat. The beaver was were creating a rearing habitat for the Chinook.
Sure.
They're a threatened species. When Hood went looking for sweetgale, that's a plant, he usually found the telltale signature of beaver just about everywhere. Dams, tiny towpath prints, sometimes the slap of a tail. Oh, yikes. Everything but beaver, which is nocturnal, as you know, Jim.
Yes, I found that to be the case.
Except that if it's been diked out of existence.
How unfortunate.
Okay, and that is our beaver. It's our birthday beaver stack for Jim. All right, then. Let's.
Does it really say diked out of existence?
At some universities, I believe that to be the case.
Oh,
beaver's been diked out of existence.
There are writers out there who are writing stories knowing that they're going to get read on the Stephanie Miller newscast.
I think so. Mm-hmm.
I think they're turning red now.
Mm-hmm. These tidal wetlands were among the first to be diked, drained, and filled nearly out of existence in Puget Sound.
The beavers were filled?
Yes. The ones that were not diked.
Out of existence.
Uh-huh. Let's check some entertainment news, shall we?
There's no business like show business.
It's time for Tinsel Talk. Let's find out what's going on in Hollywood with Stephanie Miller.
Oh, now I'm in a better mood.
I knew that'd bring you around.
Uh-huh.
Our top story. Martin Scorsese facing the challenge of his career, casting an actor to play a young Frank Sinatra in his new movie about the chairman of the board. Insiders tell us his shortlist for Sinatra to include Johnny Depp and James Franco. Who is he, yummy?
And very, very smart.
He's very smart. He's, like, in college
getting
now.
Getting a degree at UCLA.
Yeah.
Carrying, like, a billion units.
And he's sleeping through a lot of classes. The paparazzi are catching him sleeping in class.
Other names include Jake...
Gyllenhaal.
Mm-hmm. Justin Timberlake, Mark Wahlberg. Leonardo DiCaprio has also been chatted about, but the source says it's unlikely because he looks nothing like Sinatra.
Yeah.
Donald Trump said, I think Johnny Depp is the guy. Why did they ask Donald Trump? He thinks that would be huge.
Huge. I think I should play Sinatra.
Michael Feinstein, whose latest CD is the Sinatra Project, said it should be Philip Seymour Hoffman.
What?
Oh.
Because he can play anybody?
Okay.
Speaking of not looking anything
like
Frank
kidding.
Sinatra. Okay, and Men's Fitness Editor says, I think if he lost some weight and got fit again, Harry Connick Jr. Could rock that role.
Yeah, that's true.
Lost some weight. When does
No,
when
he's
got a little doughy.
Yeah, he's got a little doughy.
He has some melons, so.
I believe we have some audio of the Sinatra auditions.
Mm-hmm. All right, Sinatra auditions, take one. Christopher Walken.
The wee small hours of the morning, when the whole wide world is fast asleep. You lie awake and think about the watch that's ticking loudly up your ass, thank.
Thank you. Next, for Jack Nicholson.
When somebody loves you, it's no good unless she loves you all the way, if you get what I'm saying. Taller than the tallest tree, that's how it's got to feel. And it will, with a little luck and 20 milligrams of Levitra. Deeper than the deep blue sea it goes. How's your gag reflex, Aurora?
Thank you. Next, Woody Allen.
I'm wild again. Beguiled again. Simpering, whimpering child again. Bewitched, bothered, and neurotic am I. Couldn't sleep. Wouldn't sleep. Then child services came and told me I shouldn't sleep. Not with my stepdaughter, anyway.
Next, this can't be right. North Korean dictator Kim Jong-il?
Oh, no.
You're kidding, right?
No, no kidding. How do we know how much to discover? What chemical forces flow from rubber to rubber? How do we understand what touches of that tingle? That sudden explosion when my typo dong intermingle with capitalist imperious degradation against socialist workers correct the paradise. So long as countries kiss me and the world around the shatter, how little it matters. How do we know? Oh, the blue eyes out, baby.
Brilliant. You're definitely going to Hollywood.
Hallelujah.
Oh.
That's all for Tinsel Talk. I'm here. Oh, no, I'm not.
There's one more.
And finally, I'm so sorry. I was... and finally, singer Fergie is the latest to declare that she is a bisexual.
Well, she better be careful or she'll be diked out of existence.
Yes.
Now.
What?
I don't think... her sexuality, it's Fergalicious. It's not one or the other.
So delicious.
Exactly, it's Fergalicious. Pop beauty Fergie has become the latest celebrity to admit to a lesbian romp, as they call it in the tabloids.
Is there a video?
Oh, boy.
The Black Eyed Peas singer follows fellow Americans Lindsay Lohan, Lady Gaga, and Megan Fox in revealing that she's bisexual. The star explained, you'll like our next video for I Got a Feeling because I have a little girl-on-girl tease section of the video. Squeezy. Can I just say the most confused person in this story appears to be Megan Fox, who admits to sleeping with women but says she's turned off by other girls who also like men. She said, I have no question in my mind about being bisexual, but I'm also a hypocrite. I'd never date a girl who was bisexual because that means they also sleep with men. And men are so dirty, I never want to sleep with a girl who slept with a man.
What?
Oh, heavens.
That
is...
Oh.
All right. We have... Who do we have on this?
Fergie's on Larry King.
Oh, that's right.
We're so pleased and proud to have the American hip-hop legend and stunning beauty Fergie with us tonight. Fergie, I'll get right down to the subject. It's taken everyone by complete surprise. What did you mean when you recently announced that you were a bicycle?
No, not a bicycle. Bisexual. You know, I bat from both sides of the plate.
Oh, so righty lefty, huh? Don't you mean ambidextrous?
No, I mean I'm bi. When I have sex, I'm bi.
I wouldn't have thought that someone as gorgeous as you would have to buy sex. You certainly got enough money for lots and lots of sex. You get a bulk discount?
No, Larry, are your suspenders too tight? I mean, I'm bi, just like lots of people. Some are famous and some who aren't. I even bet some people in high office are bisexual and won't admit it.
So you're saying you have sex with Joe Biden?
Larry, look, okay, I'll try to make it clear. You know your lovely wife, Sean? Think of it this way. I'd totally do her and you. Is it clear now?
You bet. I'd buy that for a dollar. This is Larry King Live, and I'm going off camera in order to get off with our special guest, Fergie, for the hour.
Oh, no. Thank God that was after we actually had Larry King. That's all for Tinsel Talk. I'm here all week. Tell your friends. If you'd like more Jim Ward, 50-year-old Paul Darrell.
Jim Ward's apocryphal but true. For which there's a tie lad on the Stephanie Miller website.
Yes.
AAR apocryphal but true.
Yeah. Yes, it's all Fergalicious. All of it is.
So delicious.
No, it's so delicious. Both apocryphal but true and StephanieMiller.com. Check it out. All right.
Listen up, y'all. This is the beat.
Okay. 20 minutes after the hour. We'll tell you if Woody Allen won his lawsuit or not, and much more celebrity stack as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
What you gonna do with all that junk? All that junk inside your trunk.
I'ma get you drunk. Get you love drunk off my hump. My hump, my hump. My hump, my hump, my hump. My hump, my hump, my hump. My lovely little lump.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Kim in San Francisco, Cisco on our budget woes.
Hey,
hello,
guys.
Kim.
Kim, congratulations on going through the portal. And don't forget, don't fight it. Just go into the light. It's easy. Don't
go gently.
Fight this.
Go.
You'll begin to save your 10% ARP. Exactly. Okay, so what I want to say about this whole Nancy Pelosi thing is that the GOP used to have the power to refocus everybody by changing our status from yellow to orange and things like that. This Pelosi debate is easy because the media doesn't have to do any investigation or research, because at this point, all you have to do is have an opinion, and you know the saying, everybody's got one.
Yes, yeah. They're like, right.
So
holes.
What's harder and so much more important is that this recession / depression, what it's doing to real people's lives, at least in my neighborhood, and the media won't cover it because they're complicit in this. They are usually attached to corporations that are very complicitous. And I don't know if anybody saw it, but last night Katie Couric did a piece about the children of the recession. And it was drawing a parallel between back in the Depression, people used to give away their kids. And I mean, give them away to families that agreed to take care of them because, you know, the till was dry. They had no money. They couldn't find a job. They had done everything they could, and they had to find somebody that would take
right.
on their
Thank kids. God things are better now. At least you can sell your kids if you need to these days. You don't just give them.
Yes. What?
Don't be a mommy. So anyway, what I'm saying is, you guys, when you see good pieces like that about what the human toll of this recession is, call the viewer comment lines. They have one
right.
in New York for Katie Couric's piece. We've got to congratulate
yeah.
these guys when they focus on the right stuff.
There you go. And say, by the way, FYI, ask Dick Cheney a follow-up question. Now and again, for God's sakes. All right.
There'll be no follow-up questions. Or I'm going to Fox. I'm going to Fox anyway.
I was going to say, exactly.
Yeah, by the way.
All
only
right.
goes to Fox.
Woody Allen has won his $5 million lawsuit against American Apparel. They used him in ads without his permission, and that was, as you know,
I object, Your Honor. This trial's a travesty. It's a travesty of a mockery of a sham of a mockery of a travesty of two mockeries of a sham.
Exactly.
Wait, I won? I withdraw my argument.
Yes, exactly.
The computer says yes.
The judge agrees. Okay. Justin Timberlake's restaurant is in a sexual discrimination lawsuit. An ex-manager at Justin Timberlake's barbecue restaurant in New York has filed suit against the company, saying she was sexually harassed while at work. She was forced to watch porn in a locked office at Southern Hospitality by Timberlake's business partners.
Hmm. Did he try to serve someone his bleep in a box?
Maybe I don't know. They were trying to give her sexy back. You know, forced to watch porn. We forced Jim to watch porn. We didn't force him. But
it was on.
Yeah, at our first studio, at
yes.
Playboy Studios.
They
yeah.
had 35 channels of porn on the TV in the break room. So
if only Jim would have sued me. I need the publicity.
45 minutes to get coffee.
Yeah.
All right. Aretha Franklin was left highly insulted earlier this month after she was asked to become the latest celebrity spokesperson for Jenny Craig.
Oh.
Apparently you don't ask Aretha that. You got to give her the... yeah. She did not get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T from the Jenny Craig. She is about 300 lbs. These days. She signed up apparently with the company 2 years ago, dropped 25 pounds, but then quit, complaining that she was always starving.
Yeah.
She said, I'm eating the Jenny Craig-type meals. You can only eat them for so long, though, before you want some barbecue ribs or some pig feet.
Or some what?
Pig feet. Yeah. She said, once you get off that Jenny Craig thing and start eating what you've been eating, it's all over. Yeah, she mm-hmm. maybe would not have been the best spokesperson for the... Unless Jenny Kirstie Craig starts
Alley
making
so
pig's
well.
Feet.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Unless that joins the menu.
It'd be very tiny pig's feet.
Piglet
all right.
feet.
What are celebrities twittering about? We will tell you all the latest celebrity tweets, including Larry King's list yesterday, which I think is our all-time favorite.
Yes.
Which was?
Whatever happened to galoshes?
See, the kids today, they don't know how to tweet like Larry King.
No, they don't.
All right, we'll tell you the latest celebrity tweeting, the president's meeting with Netanyahu, and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ew, that is vile.
I know, I hate myself, but...
Stephanie Miller. So good.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Ooh, what a big week on the Stephanie Miller Show. Carol Leifer, comedian extraordinaire, joins us Thursday live in studio to
That's
talk
right.
about
wow.
her new book, When You Lie About Your Age, The Terrorists Win.
That's funny!
Oh, that's the best book I've read.
And Larry King in studio with us next week.
Oh, that's what he said.
So okay. we'll see.
All right. We will re-air that interview next hour
yes.
that we just had with Larry last hour. You know, in the meantime, have you noticed, Chris, that the Internet has really changed the entire landscape of the American political scene? If only there was someone that could talk. What?
Huh?
Jim, could you get that? Who is it?
It appears to be the author of the new book, Bloggers on the Bus, How the Internet Changed Politics and the Press, senior fellow at Media Matters for America, Eric Bollert.
Wow, that's a long, fancy title.
Yeah.
What a long book. Hello, Eric.
Hey, Stephanie, how are you?
Good morning, sir.
Thanks for having me.
It's always a thrill to have a senior fellow. You know, we reject many of the junior fellows.
I'm a senior fellow as of today.
You know, I have to say, I'm glad you wrote this book because, you know, I think this cannot be understated, the influence of the Internet in these last two election cycles.
Yeah, and, you know, my book is almost entirely about the rise of the liberal blogosphere and the Netroots, and it's essentially defined this decade in terms of politics and the press. But as I look around, you know, sort of the mainstream media or the bookshelves, I didn't really see anything that answered the simple question, who are these people, how did it begin? So half of the book is sort of the history of the liberal blogosphere and the completely eclectic sort of ragtag group of people who put it together with no money, no planning, no anything. It just sort of happened organically. And then I looked at how they had a really, you know, a very dramatic impact on the 2008 campaign.
Or as we like to say, the far-left smear merchants who faced Bill O'Reilly in the last two election cycles.
As a proud member of that, yes. Yeah.
And we love all of them. Huffington Post, you talk about crooks and liars, all our buddies, Daily Coast, you know, it just, that's the thing. It's there's so many different people. Like, you know, you were saying that a lot of times they do news stories and they're like, bloggers are saying, like, there's just one.
Yeah, they're presented as sort of this faceless, you know, the typical angry blogger. And but no one has really asked them, who are you? Why did you do this? The very simple stuff. And some of the interviews I did with, you know, people like Digby and Jane Hampshire and others who, Jane Hampshire just Fire Dog Lake and Digby at Hullabaloo and some of the others, I was really the first person to ever interview them, and they've been doing this for years, and they've been changing the landscape for years. And you know, the Washington Post is incredibly media centric. They write about media all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Up until a couple weeks ago, they'd never printed a feature about a liberal blogger.
Right.
It's just not what they want to do.
Well, because in my opinion, Eric, and we've been talking about this a lot lately, particularly with the torture debate, the quote unquote liberal media, it's because they don't do their job. They don't ask Dick Cheney any follow-up questions, you know?
Right. I mean, if we go back to the Scooter Libby trial, I mean, who were the driving force behind really a lot of that fact-finding? It was the bloggers, this torture debate, who's gone through the documents, the firing of, you know, Bush's firing of the U.S. attorney generals, who was behind that? It was the bloggers and the readers. So I think the mainstream press realizes to a certain extent the bloggers are sort of eating their lunch and to a degree and don't really want to spend any time sort of celebrating.
Right. Well, you guys, it's almost like you guys force them to do journalism. You know, like I've
been... and the bloggers have also been incredibly effective and articulate media critics over the years. And who wants to get beat up by them? And you know, and they do it in a very factual, insightful way. Who wants to get beat up by them and turn around and then say, oh gosh, you guys are great at beating us up? So
right.
There's, you know, the conservative bloggers, the mainstream press, you know, oh, Michelle Malkin, let's have her on. You know, let's write features about Powerline and all these sort of, frankly, loony websites. But the liberal bloggers just don't get their due. So I figured it was time to someone to sort of explain their story.
Well, it seems the difference. I mean, A, we're just so much better at the Internet than they are. B, you're doing actual journalism. I mean, you know, whether you – I'm not saying everybody agrees with everything on the left-wing sites. But,
that's right.
You know, you're breaking actual stories, whereas the right-wing site seems to still just be about kind of crazy opinion. You know, they're not really let's talk about the 2008 race. I mean,
yeah.
Governor Palin's pregnant daughter, John McCain, not knowing how many houses he owned, those started on the Internet, right?
Yeah, and, you know, and a lot of the conservative bloggers are still looking for Barack Obama's birth certificate. I mean, they really just got completely bogged down in these loopy conspiracy theories. And I think, you know, they had their big home run in 2004 with Dan Rather and Memogate, and they got sort of addicted to this sort of sleuth, you know, gotcha stories. They were going to unveil all these, you know, reveal all these secret identities of people. And they've been, you know, it's been like 5 years and they haven't had a follow-up hit, you know, but they keep pushing these conspiracy theories, and it's just sort of a mess. And on the other side, liberal bloggers are sort of, you know, it's fair to say, in certain respects, reinventing journalism.
Yep, absolutely. Well, I mean, talk about the 2008 race a little bit. I mean, there were some key moments, right? I mean, essentially, the Internet vetted Sarah Palin better than John McCain did, right?
Yeah, I did a whole chapter on some of these Alaskan liberal bloggers who, prior to, you know, Labor Day weekend of 2008, I mean, they were getting two or three comments comments per post. They had a couple hundred readers. And then Sarah Palin was introduced to the national conversation, and you had tens of millions of Americans suddenly thirsty for information about Sarah Palin. You know, it took the traditional press a couple days just to get reporters up to Anchorage. And in the meantime, the local bloggers were, they owned that story really for the first week. They were putting out great information and great analysis, and they're getting tens and thousands of comments and millions of readers. And overnight, they sort of became this sort of local co-op news gathering organization, and did a great job vetting Sarah Palin. Now, I did also point out in the book that, you know, some of the diarists, I think, did get completely taken away with this Sarah Palin conspiracy theory. It wasn't her daughter, or it wasn't her son.
Right.
You know, she faked her pregnancy. And I think that was a case of some of the readers sort of losing their moorings. But in general, the local Alaska bloggers did an amazing job in putting this in perspective. Because if you go back, you remember the first couple of days, that press reaction was, what a maverick pick. John McCain is back. What a bold pick.
Mm-hmm.
And it was getting great headlines.
Well,
and the local blogger said, wait a minute, she wasn't even a very good mayor of a town of 6,000.
Yeah, exactly. No, well, I mean, that's the thing. It's the, like you say, without the corporate masters, the ability to actually speak the truth. Like I was saying, all these Dick Cheney interviews, like nobody challenges him when he talks about keeping, you know, they kept America safe. Nobody says, oh, you mean except for the worst terrorist attack in our history that happened on your watch.
And nobody said, the press just sort of shrugged their shoulders like, of course, you know, when a vice president leaves the White House, of course the first thing they do is sort of go on a public smear campaign against the new administration. No one interviewing Dick Cheney, or very few people, said, you know, this is unprecedented. We have never seen this in the history of modern politics. Why are you doing this? They just sort of acted like, oh, of course, this is what every vice president does.
Well, you know, I was on
claims the new guy is making America less safe.
Well, you know, Eric, I was on CNN the other day, and of course the right-winger said, oh, well, Al Gore. It's like Al Gore waited 2 years,
that's
and
right.
Then he spoke out about the Iraq War, and by the way, he was right. That was it.
Like,
you know,
other than that, the comparison is perfect.
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, Dick Cheney is like, why doesn't, you know, he's out there opening his mouth about torture left and right. Why doesn't anyone challenge him on Al Libby, who he knew to be that, you know, a complete lie. And he cited it way after the CIA told him it was a lie, that, you know, that he had recanted his what he said under torture, and that there was no connection between Saddam and Al-Qaeda.
That's right. And again, that's an example of, you know, if bloggers were ever able to conduct sort of the quote-unquote serious journalism, it would look a lot different, and they would be doing sort of the simple, obvious things that journalists are supposed to do, but we don't see it that often anymore.
Well, and you know, but I think the big thing, you know, in this last election, you talk about that, you know, in many ways, whether it's the internet or whatever, the GOP is sort of stuck technologically, like the,
yeah.
You know, relying on, you say still in love with AM talk radio, where of course they've had the advantage for so long.
Yeah, the tables have really been turned. I mean, for years, liberals just sort of scratched their head and could not figure out why conservatives, A, loved talk radio, would listen to it endlessly, and how conservatives were able to build that into a very influential media outlet. And there was like something in the DNA, you know, the liberals just, you know, were not gravitating to talk radio and the numbers that conservatives were. Now the tables are completely turned, and conservatives are still, you know, 8 years after the invention of the blogosphere, trying to figure out, okay, now how does this thing work? What do we do? Do we email people?
Right.
You
need to take up the slack for us until we can get on as many stations as Rush Limbaugh. In fact, if only some influential blogger would do a campaign to get liberal radio on as many stations as conservative radio
was on.
But Eric, you know, thank you seriously for, you know, you guys are doing such important work, and you absolutely have, you know, affected the landscape in America. What are you guys focusing on now that there's a Democrat in the White House?
Well, in terms of Media Matters, I mean, we've just been calling out the sort of the unhinged rhetoric from the right, and, you know, spotlighting how Fox News really is now positioning itself as the opposition party in America. It's sort of, you know, shed any resemblance of a news organization, and now there was an appearance John Boehner had on Fox the other day, and Fox News essentially calling for Nancy Pelosi's resignation. And the Republican in the House is saying, well, not quite. So, you know, Fox News is now in front of the Republican
right.
Party.
Now the Republicans are taking their talking points from Fox News.
Yeah, and now Fox is ahead of the Republican Party and calling for, you know, Democrats to resign. So, you know, Fox News is taking up a lot of our time because they're into a territory we've never seen in terms of modern journalism before. Again, basically positioning themselves as the opposition party.
Yep, absolutely. The man is Eric Bollert. The book is Bloggers on the Bus, How the Internet Changed Politics and the Press. Eric, thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
All right, there he goes.
Yay!
Our buddy, our pal.
He's awesome.
Yes, indeed he is. All right, 44 minutes after the hour, best celebrity tweet.
Oh, boy.
Because, you know, that's what all the kids are doing. As we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
That laughter sounds like the result of misbehavior.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 49.
What's her name again, that woman?
Khalees.
49 minutes after the hour.
Oh, her to say it.
1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Ha-ha. Carl in Chicago on our Republican friends. Hello, Carl.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Don't you think it's about time that the left talking heads started doing what the right wing has been doing for the longest time? They could never get over Watergate, so anytime anything happened on the Democratic side, they would attach a gate to it, like Whitewater Gate. I don't know where the gate was on that. Or
right.
Travel Gate or Monica Gate.
Right.
Don't you think we should have like Iraq Gate, Torture Gate? Mm. How about Waterboard Gate?
I'm for elimination of all gates whatsoever.
Let's do away with gating entirely.
I hate it when people nickname a scandal something gate.
If you know, if an unnecessary war and illegal torture is not enough of a scandal without a gate. Larry in Wisconsin on Pelosi. Hello, Larry.
Hi. I guess the key thing I'd like to say is that I wouldn't bet on Nancy Pelosi surviving. She might, but as Speaker of the House, it's no accident that Leon Panetta took a very strong, clear public stand. That could have all been settled behind the curtain.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, I don't know, Larry. We clearly haven't seen the end of this. And, you know, when you've got Nancy Pelosi saying, let's release the briefing papers, let's have a truth commission, and you have Mitch McConnell saying, let's not. Who do you really think has something to hide? I mean, Larry, if you heard me earlier, you know, she sent an aide to the CIA before she had this press conference to, somebody was saying she wouldn't say it if she hadn't checked on what was in that briefing.
Do you think that Rahm Emanuel really wants Nancy Pelosi leading the House Democrats? I mean,
it's not up to Rahm Emanuel.
No, it's up to Obama.
No, it's not.
Well,
doesn't get to choose who is the Speaker of the House.
Right.
They're completely separate branches of government.
Okay.
Well, and it's not that, you know, I think Michael Steele tried to make this about, is the president for his own CIA? Nancy Pelosi's not criticizing the CIA under Barack Obama. It's under George Bush and what they were ordered to do under George Bush. All right, more importantly, what are celebrities twittering about, for God's sakes? War crimes and...
Whatever!
Science?
Chrissy Alley is late for her son's concert. Miley Cyrus has a George Michael song stuck in her head. Lily Allen has spotted a heffalump.
A what?
Okay.
Heffalump.
I don't even know what a heffalump is, but that's what celebrities are
is
tweeting.
Is it Dr. Seuss thing?
This is another edition of tweeting. I don't get it.
No. There are some important tweeters. I subscribe to Andrew Sullivan.
Can you use important and tweet in the same sentence?
Yeah, Andrew Sullivan writes some great tweets.
All right. Like, I would agree with you on that.
Okay. But, you know, people like Lily Allen and Nicole Richie? No.
I was just going to say, would you like to hear the all-time dumbest celebrity tweet? Jim, are you ready for this?
Okay.
This will surprise you, but celebutard Nicole Richie, not so much with the science. She tweeted, someone asked me if you can get pregnant while you're already pregnant. What a dumb question. Of course you can. Twins. Duh.
Science.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
You are an idiot.
It's not a...
That's not how twins are made.
No.
No.
Okay. Uh-uh. All right. Well, we'll get into that some other time. Okay. Michael Savage's son has given to Gavin Newsom's campaign.
Uh-oh.
What?
The Wiener Savage's son has given to Gavin Newsom's gubernatorial campaign out here in California, IA. Here's the most shocking part of the story. Apparently, he's successful, Michael Savage's son. He's the Rockstar energy drink founder and CEO. Russell Wiener, because, you know, the Savage Wiener's name is actually Wiener.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He gave $25,000 to San Francisco liberal.
Really? End your civilization. You're dead to me. Don't ever come home. I hate you. I always hated you. You bastard.
I think Newsom would be a far better governor than Villaraigosa.
By the way, I like Villaraigosa. I've met him, but now I've gotten one too many robocalls from him. And
Okay, they woke me up last night.
Me too.
Oh, my God.
Hi, it's Antonio Villaraigosa. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yes, I'm not voting for you or anyone you're endorsing. Thank you, goodbye.
Because you called after 7 o'clock.
Speaking of...
well, they called at like 8:45.
This will make you laugh. Speaking of California politics, guess
what?
Who is rumored to be considering a run for the Senate against Senator Barbara Boxer?
Who?
Former talk show host Larry Elder.
Oh, he seriously thinks he can win? Wow.
Oh, he doesn't want to fight with Barbara Boxer. So I don't think.
I guess he wants to fight.
I guess so. All right.
And if that's where we're going, that's where we're going.
At least when I lose my radio show, I won't be dumb enough to try to run against Barbara Boxer.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're waiting to see if Carly Fiorino runs, but if not, then it's the Lair.
Oh, is that the woman who boned up HP?
Yes.
Hewlett Packard?
And walked away with a huge golden parachute.
Oh, I see. Okay.
She ought to be the... this is prime time for fat cats like that, isn't it?
Great.
People who walked out with their own personal bailouts of that magnitude. All right. Charles in Seattle on the president. Hello, Charles.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you all doing?
Good. Go ahead.
You know, to me, the question is not, is Nancy not hawkish enough for this administration? The question is more, how does this administration that got elected promising to us to get us out of this madness in the Middle East, how does it reconcile that with his pick of the most chicken hawk Democrat the Congress had in Rahm Emanuel? You know, I'm more concerned.
Explain what you mean by that.
Well, Rahm Emanuel is one of the Democrats that was all for going to Iraq, was he not?
I
don't know.
All for going to Iraq? I don't know about that.
He voted for the resolution to invade.
Yeah, listen, I understand.
A lot of people did.
Yeah, a lot of people did, because they were shown the same cherry-picked and twisted and a pack of lies on the WMD that everybody else was. That's the one lie that, again, never gets challenged in the quote-unquote liberal media. Well, we all saw the same, and they'd still let him get away with that.
Yep.
We all saw the same intelligence. Everybody thought he had. No. They were not shown the same intelligence. Boner on the, excuse me, Tracy in California on the boner.
What?
Hello, Tracy.
Hey, guys.
I thought the boner was calling me.
Oh, my God.
Hi, Tracy.
And no, I'm not on the boner. Thank you very much.
Pardon me. And I apologize to Mr. Tracy.
Does anybody find it absolutely hilarious that the boner can sit there and have his panties all up his butt about Pelosi, and if we lie before Congress, that's against the law and we need to be prosecuted?
Yeah. Yeah. See, Republicans a little irony deficient.
Yeah.
I know. Exactly. It's the important thing. Nancy Pelosi lying to Congress. That's rich. Steve in Washington, D.C., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show, on the president as well. Hello, Steve.
Hey, Steph, my love.
Hello, baby.
Hey, baby. Did you hear about the Steelers that said that he would not go to the White House because he wants the president to invite him when they lose?
Huh?
This idiot went through. You have to pull it up, Steph.
A Pittsburgh Steeler?
Pittsburgh, James Harrison. He won Defensive Player of the Year. They've been invited to the White House. He said he's not going because I want the president to invite me when we lose. I don't just want him to invite me when we win.
But,
you have to hear this. Pull it up.
But that's tradition.
He is an offensive player. I'll agree with him there. Ha! That's a little football joke. That'll be my sports joke for the day. 57 minutes after the hour, back with Larry King. We will re-air Larry King. Much more on the president's meeting with Netanyahu as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LeBoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Oh, I fulfill a life dream in less than a half an hour. I get to say hello, Los Angeles. Hello, it's Larry King. Larry King on the Celebrity Hotline in a half an hour. Meanwhile, lots of big breaking news. You know, Jim, the important thing, not that the Bush administration lied us into an unnecessary war, no.
Lying to the Congress of the United States is a crime. And if the speaker is accusing the CIA and other intelligence officials of lying or misleading the Congress, then she should come forward with evidence.
Yes.
Yes. And we she say will. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
What a boner. Meanwhile, the president met with Netanyahu, the Israeli prime minister, yesterday.
I want to start peace negotiations with the Palestinians immediately. If we resume negotiations, as we plan to do, then I think that the Palestinians will have to recognize Israel as a Jewish state.
Good news for the Democratic Party. Michael Steele still in the hizzy at the RNC talking about what kind of party he wants. Or
I want a party that speaks to people. I mean, the idea that we only narrowly speak to one segment of the population is boneheaded.
Yes.
And it is not reflective of the history of this party. How is kicking Colin Powell out or kicking Dick Cheney out or Rush Limbaugh in going to feed a child who's hungry tonight?
Mm. Here's a little tip for you. Maybe you shouldn't have elected a bonehead as the head of the RNC.
And when has the Republican Party ever cared about feeding children? That was a boneheaded statement
about
right there.
1860.
The more important big news of the day. Voice deity Jim Ward is 50 today.
Hey now.
Squeezy's 50.
Well, happy birthday to
me, oh my.
Mr. McFeel Pants, you say it's your birthday. Your constant mockery and insolence does not please me. So you can go your birthday.
Happy birthday, Mr.
Squeezy.
Well, how do you do?
Happy birthday to you.
Dave in Minneapolis writes, "Hi, Mom. In honor of Jim's birthday, could you please play the Grandpa Simpson for him?"
Death stalks you at every turn. There it is. Death. You know, at my age, the mind starts playing tricks. So, death. Oh, where were we? Death!
That's why I wear an onion on my belt.
As the official hypochondriac of the Stephanie Miller Show, death has been stalking you for years, ever since you had that...
the ectopic pregnancy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You cannot play one of those drug ads for Jim. He gets whatever's mentioned in there.
Yes.
All right. Speaking of our friends on at the RNC, Julie in Seattle has sent us a new Gallup poll on the GOP. Strike up the tiny violin, Mama. Since 2001, the black hole of lame that is today's Republican Party lost ground in every demographic group.
Wow.
Except church-going Bible thumpers and rabid weasels. The tragic particulars of the poll from Gallup.com. It reads, the decline and fall of the Republican Party in recent years has been so widespread the party has lost support among nearly every major demographic subgroup of likely voters across the country. They lost support among a broad swath of Americans, from conservative to liberal, low-income to high-income, married to unmarried, elderly to young. Is there anyone left? Who's left? The biggest declines of roughly 10% occurred among all college-educated 18 to 29-year-olds and Midwestern voters. The turning point, 2005, after Hurricane Katrina and Bush's nomination of Harriet Myers, when the party's support really started to free fall. And now there's virtually nobody out there. Nobody in the hizzy, Michael Steele.
Anyone
Sorry.
At all?
Sorry.
Clearly the facts of a liberal bias. Getting rid of facts should be at the top of our list.
By the way, you know what is probably helping? Is their two main spokespeople, Dick Cheney and Newt Gingrich.
Yeah.
who, by the way, Tommy in Columbus has sent us yet another.
Right-wing hypocrite!
Is this the book that Nudie's been hawking all over the Fox News?
I got a book for
him.
I thought this was a joke. I thought someone mocked it up. His book is actually Five Principles for a Successful Life. Here are the fun facts. Tommy in Columbus writes, Five Principles for a Successful Life from Our Family to Yours by Newt. Oh, is it by his daughter? Jackie Gingrich?
Somebody? His daughter?
Which family would that be?
I thought it was his wife.
Tommy has summarized for us, so you don't have to read the book. Summarize the five principles of Newt's life. Number one, have sex with your high school teacher, then marry her, have her help you get through college, and then divorce her when she gets cancer.
Yes. Yeah.
That's number one. Yeah. Number two, shut down the federal government because the president didn't give you a nice seat on Air Force One. That's true.
That's true.
Number three, complain about the president's affair and drag the country through the mud and help spend $70 million over 7 years as your intern in an affair on wife number two.
That's right.
Number four, complain about big government spending as you bring in more defense pork money per capita for your district than any other congressperson. Number five, write a book about morals when your own morals would let you a goat in the town square in the middle of the day as third graders walk by as you talk about the dangers of gay marriage.
Yes.
Tommy summarizing the principles for successful life.
And don't forget, he recently became a Catholic, and we all know how Catholics feel about divorce.
How's that working out for you?
Speaking of marriage, the clue here, Jim, is this is one of my future husbands. In today's Guess the Quote, are you ready? Who said it doesn't go away by itself? Watergate went away when Richard Nixon resigned the presidency in disgrace and left town, never to be heard from in an official capacity again. The Bush presidency is thankfully over, but the damage he and Cheney did continues to press on the nerve of the American people like an impacted wisdom tooth. And until the questions surrounding arguably the most arrogant and perhaps most corrupt administration in our history are addressed, the pain won't go away. Who said that?
Sheldon Leonard.
No, that's incorrect. Jack Cafferty, crusty old CNN coot and my future husband. Whom I love, in another great commentary on the CNN.com. Jim, who said George W. Bush and his accomplices damaged this country like it's never been damaged before? And it's not just the phony war in Iraq or the torture memories, the justified waterboarding. It's millions of missing emails, the constant use of executive privilege and signing statements. It's the secret of meetings with Enron and other energy executives and wholesale firing of federal prosecutors. It's trying to get the president's personal attorney seated on the Supreme Court. And that despicable Alberto Gonzalez sitting in front of the congressional investigators whining, I don't remember, I don't know, etc. Who said that?
Lane Barrymore.
No. Jack Cafferty, the
crusty old CNN coot.
My future. Jim, who said it's the domestic eavesdropping in violation of the FISA court, the rendition prisons? It's lying, it's looking the other way while the city of New Orleans drowned, its people were left to fend for themselves. It's the violations of the Geneva Conventions, the soiling of our international reputation, the shredding of the U.S. Constitution, it's the handing over of $700 billion to Wall Street. Fat cats last fall, no questions asked. It's the no-bid contract to firms like Halliburton and Blackwater, the shoddy construction, lack of oversight of reconstruction, Iraq that cost American taxpayers untold billions. Who said that?
Henry Travers.
No. Jack Cafferty, crusty old CNN coot, with another fabulous commentary.
Was your theme crusty old men?
No.
Oh.
The cast of It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh, okay.
Oh, thank you. Very good. All right.
A lot of people to go to.
Can I have my fine American music? Jack Cafferty ends by saying, if Republicans were serious about restoring their reputation, they would join the call for a special prosecutor to be appointed so that with long last justice can be done. It's too late for George W. Bush to resign the presidency, but it's not too late to put the people responsible for this national disgrace in prison.
Yeah.
Jack Cafferty.
Well, he's far past being a boy.
You shush.
What? And he may be listening. Who can say he's based in New York?
Faye in Tulsa has something for you, Chris. This is for the boy toy who worships Jesus.
Yes, I love cheese.
You're the official atheist of the Stephanie Miller Show, except that you do worship cheese.
Yes, any kind of cheese. Praise Jesus.
Jesus has once again appeared as a Cheeto for a Dallas couple.
Again?
Found in a 99-cent bag of the snack food, this cheese Jesus, shown in robe with arms outstretched, as you can see here, is the second Cheeto Jesus featured on a BuzzFeed. There you go. You might want to see if you can purchase that later on the eBay. Okay.
Sacrilicious.
All right. Speaking of creepy religious things, how about those Bible quotes in the Pentagon Papers, Jim? How about that?
Freaky.
That would tend to make it look like a crusade.
Crusaders. It's a crusade.
Come join our crusade. Bang, bang, shaking off. The Pentagon said Monday it no longer includes a Bible quote on the cover page.
Good.
Yeah, because that was creepy. Did you read that? Rummy included those to, kind of buck up George W. Bush when things were not going so well.
Close the barn door. Horse long gone, but barn door shut.
I think we need the creepy psychic heavenly choir kind of music here. Okay. The Pentagon says it no longer will include a Bible quote on the cover page of the daily intelligence briefings. It's since the White House, as was done during the Bush administration, for a period in 2003, the daily reports prepared for George W. Bush carried quotes from the books of Psalms and epistles of Peter and...
Whatever!
The Bible quotes apparently aimed to support Bush at a time when soldiers' death in Iraq were on the rise. See, not sending them into an unnecessary war would have maybe been a better thing than the quotes telling you it's really okay because God wanted you to invade Iraq.
Whatever. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. They offended at least one Muslim analyst at the Pentagon and worried other employees that the passages were inappropriate.
Yeah.
Hmm. One on April 10th, 2003, for example, quoted, "Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him to deliver their soul from death." They featured pictures of the statue of Saddam Hussein being pulled down.
Oof.
Well, they kind of made this like a USA Today. Didn't it? It was like little, like they had little quotes and pictures and things, and I'm not sure what color it was, but. Therefore, put on the full armor of God that so when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand. There was on top of that, a picture of a U.S. tank driving through the desert.
Oh, my God.
These people can't wait to start Armageddon.
Wow.
And I'm getting tired of them.
The Reverend Barry Lynn of the ACLU said that U.S. soldiers are not Christian crusaders and they ought not to be depicted as such.
Yeah.
Depicting the Iraq conflict as some sort of holy war is completely outrageous. It's contrary to the constitutional separation of religion and government and tremendously damaging to America's reputation in the world. Mm. Okay.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, the military, especially the Air Force, have been really infiltrated by these right-wing whack jobs at the Air Force Academy and also at Air Force bases, too. My sister's encountered people. So which church you go to? You know, really getting all up in your business.
That's common in the South.
Well, yeah, I know.
Small towns in the South, it's very common.
They've noticed a difference that it's gotten very...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. Anne-Marie in St. Paul on Pelosi. Hey, Anne-Marie.
Hey, listen, I'm calling to support Nancy Pelosi. I'm just sick to death about this, you know, distractions and just overall bully attitude of the Republicans. And, you know, I know Nancy Pelosi can take care of herself, but this is just so...
Well, I mean, exactly. They're bullies. They're bullies who supported torture. They bullied us into an unnecessary war, and now they're trying to make it all Nancy Pelosi's fault.
No, I agree. And you know, why do we care what she knew? I really don't care.
Yeah.
I honestly don't care. It's just an absolute utter distraction. It's like they're all sitting outside the principal's office and they're still creating trouble.
Yep. Yeah. But Anne-Marie, I was saying earlier that I think the most important breaking development in this is that, you know, an aide told Politico that she sent someone before she had this press conference to confirm at the CIA, and she's the one that wants the briefing papers released. So, you know, I say just wait and let's see, because they said she wouldn't have said it unless she knew what she was talking about.
No, she's much smarter than all of them. She really is.
Yep. All right. 20 minutes after the hour, back with more. You won't believe what the right is saying about Nancy Pelosi. They're just hoping they can keep this in the news cycle for a couple more days. 20 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
The left roars back. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. David in Los Angeles on Pelosi. Hey, David.
Hey, I wanted to say that I think that Nancy Pelosi is in a really, really bad position. I sense the hand of Rove behind this, because I think that she was told about the torture and she was put into the position of, if you say nothing, you approve of it and we can use this against you later. And if you say anything about it, you're violating national security.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think that much is true. But, you know, somebody, Jeff in Atlanta, pointed out something really interesting. Mitch McChinless, the Republican leader, said this yesterday.
The CIA director was pretty specific. Our contemporaneous records from September 2002 indicate that CIA employees briefed truthfully on the interrogation of Abu Zubaydah, describing the enhanced techniques that had been employed. I mean, we know what the CIA believes.
Jeff writes, although Leon Panetta did do his official job and appear to stand up for the CIA, if you read his statement, it doesn't actually disagree with anything Pelosi said. After he said, you know, the interrogation thing that Mitch McChinless just repeated, he said, ultimately, it is up to Congress to evaluate all the evidence and reach its own conclusions about what happened. Read that. Read that carefully. It's not our policy to or practice to mislead Congress. Ultimately, it's up to Congress to evaluate, blah, blah, blah. That is a furious denunciation of Nancy Pelosi and Bob Graham's claims? No.
Nope.
He's saying hold investigations, which is what Nancy Pelosi is saying.
Yep. So Fox News is lying to you.
What?
When they say that Leon Panetta smacked down Nancy Pelosi yesterday.
Not true.
Leon Panetta did no such thing.
Yeah. You know what? I don't know, but it may be what we've been saying, that Obama's playing chess when the rest of us are playing checkers, that, you know, the more of this comes out, even like I was saying, Maureen Dowd saying, well, now I want to know everything.
Yeah.
Now
you've got to have an investigation. We've got to find out everything that happened. We got to, including the, we do, we, what? We, oh, crap.
Yeah, why are they afraid of the Truth Commission?
Exactly.
Exactly. Jim in Illinois on Pelosi. Hi, Jim.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you could tell Nancy Pelosi was lying in the press conference because she always has that, remember that runaway bride, that goofy lady that was on the media? She has that look, and you could tell she's lying.
I see. Okay. Because she looks like the runaway bride.
Because she looked like she was back in the room full of black guys.
Yeah, I think that was the same guy.
Yeah. Is that the guy that said our policies are wrong because they were thought up by a room full of black guys?
Well, yeah. Talking about them.
Yeah. Okay, Jack in Los Angeles, I'm the president. Hello, Jack.
Yeah, hi, Stephanie. You know, can you explain to me why any progressive or liberal who voted for Obama could have expected that he would just be George Bush from the left? That, you know, that he wouldn't think, that he wouldn't be deliberative, that he wouldn't sometimes change his mind and slow
down. Well, I don't agree with,
another look.
You know, look, I don't agree with everything he's doing. I don't agree with the military tribunals, but, you know, it is refreshing to have a president that actually looks at things and has an ability to look at the new facts and change his mind.
Right, exactly. So, somebody says about these photos of torture. Somebody he'd never talked to before, who's in a position that they might know something, suggests to him that there's a reason to wait and think through this again. So George Bush would have said, hell no, I've decided.
Barack yeah, because he's the decider. Said, exactly.
You're a smart person and you've got concerns and there's no hurry here. Once I release these, we're not getting them back.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't I take another couple of days or a week or a month or a year and think it through?
Yeah.
I kind of like that.
Yeah, exactly. Let's go to Rick in Humboldt, California. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Thank you. Jim, I realized that there was a kinship that we had, but until today I didn't realize what it was. It's my birthday, too.
Hey, happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
And it's Pete Townsend's birthday as well.
Who? I wouldn't sing to you, though. I'm just a bass player. I only sing harmonies. But on Cheney's denial tour, one thing that he always forgets or doesn't seem to want to remember is the fact that they did not keep us safe after 9/11. We did suffer a terrorist attack. Remember the anthrax attack?
Yes.
Yep. Yeah. Exactly.
Anthrax.
All right. 28 minutes after the hour, did the president and Netanyahu actually accomplish anything? We'll tell you when we come back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Not my first time on the merry-go-round, Chief. Not gonna do it. Staying like this, serious and horny.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour.
I don't know.
1-800 my life. 1-800-STEPH-12. The phone number, toll free from anywhere. Cheryl in Los Angeles on Pelosi. Hey, Cheryl.
Hi.
Hi.
So my, can you hear me? Okay.
Yep. Yes.
Okay. My comment is, if the CIA and those who support the CIA are saying that they're so above board and they can believe everything they say, why has nobody brought up the fact that they destroyed all of those tapes and, and all of that information that they're hiding, that they probably never told Nancy Pelosi or anybody about? Nobody's brought that up, and I think that's a really valid point to get the
the discussion back to the CIA and their culpability and what they're hiding, not what they did or didn't mention to Nancy Pelosi.
Well, you know, again, Cheryl, to me, the issue is what did the Bush administration order? We have ample evidence that they ordered the CIA to twist and cherry pick and omit intelligence on WMD. That's how we got into this unnecessary war. And,
right.
You know, clearly we have evidence they did the same thing with torture.
Right. But, I mean, nobody's actually said anything about those tapes being destroyed lately. I haven't heard anything just to show that the CIA, you know, because this whole talk about, well, I've never heard that the CIA's lied to me or this or that. But, meanwhile, they destroyed all of these tapes. You know what I'm saying? There's nothing bringing
right.
it back to recently.
Right. But, again, here, you know, this is like we keep saying the talking point that, oh, they got it wrong. CIA got it wrong. They got it wrong on the WMD. They didn't get it wrong. They were ordered by the Bush administration, to report what they reported. And it was obviously serious omissions. And yes, thank you.
Cherry picked, if you will.
Exactly. Our friend Hillary Rosen on the whole torture gate.
You know, the CIA has, you know, lied to President Bush about the existence of weapons of mass destruction. I mean, the CIA uses whatever they can to justify the position. Now, Leon Panetta, I think, is getting the CIA and the intelligence units under control. But when other people who were briefed in those times said that there was ambiguous information. So this whole thing about Speaker Pelosi is just really a distraction for Republicans now.
Thank you, Hillary Rosen. All right, so the
I love her.
I know.
More and more. Every day she's on the Situation Room, and I just love her more and more.
She's plucky.
She is plucky.
President Obama said he wants the U.S. and its allies to start talks with Iran about that country's nuclear program after the June elections there. He also used the issue to put pressure on Netanyahu to reengage the peace process with the Palestinians. The president talking about...
I assured the prime minister that we are... not foreclosing a range of steps, including much stronger international sanctions, in assuring that Iran understands that we are serious.
We talked about this earlier, but in my opinion, this is just yet another giant mess that George Bush has left.
Mm-hmm.
As I've said before, I think we were the closest we ever were to peace with Bill Clinton. And not that this is obviously an easy question or an easy question for any president, but I have to say, we've said this over and over again, the Bush administration is the ones that, you know, is the Israelis warned them, don't rush these elections, Hamas is going to
mm-hmm.
win.
Right.
And as usual, George Bush is like, no, go on and smoke, bring it on. And who won? Hamas. So now
we're in a pickle.
I think the last chance for peace in the region was before Rabin was murdered. And he was murdered by a supporter of Netanyahu.
Yeah.
Who then became prime minister after that. So.
Yeah. But anyway, so Netanyahu yesterday says he supports self-government for Palestinians. He made no mention of a state. He said, I did not say two states for two people. He said, we need to deliberate to clarify this. Does it mean a Hamas state? I hope not. So how do I ensure it's not a Hamas state, an entity that threatens Israeli security? So, again, one of the biggest flaming piles of dog poo that George Bush left politically is that Hamas has been democratically elected now.
Well, yeah.
There's that.
It also doesn't help that Netanyahu is a far-right
yes.
lunatic.
Yep.
Yes, exactly. Anyway, but then the other thing is the settlements.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. President Obama pressed a two-state solution to the Middle East conflict, but failed to win a commitment from Netanyahu to back Palestinian statehood in their first White House talks. Obama urged Netanyahu to freeze Jewish settlements.
Yeah, which makes sense.
But sought to reassure Israelis wary about his overtures to Iran that he would not wait indefinitely for diplomatic progress on curbing their nuclear ambitions. He said it is in the interest not only of the Palestinians, but also the Israelis, the United States, and the international community to achieve a two-state solution. Obama hopes to sway Netanyahu with the prospect of normalized ties between Israel and all Muslim countries, a comprehensive deal that will require extraordinary diplomatic work by the United States. But, you know, at least Obama is starting early, whereas George Bush waited till the last minute and got this useless piece of paper. Case in point, Obama said to Netanyahu, settlements have to be stopped in order for us to move forward. In his briefing to reporters, Netanyahu gave no indication he would do so. Citing the need for Palestinians to carry out their roadmap commitments. So, George Bush's roadmap. Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Thanks, George W. Obama and Netanyahu chatted amiably, but became more businesslike when they started speaking. It was a contrast to the chumminess that George Bush often showed to visiting Israeli leaders.
We have a little bit of breaking news on the Gitmo front. Democrats have refused to give President Obama funds to close Gitmo.
Really?
Yes, because they will not give him funds without seeing a plan on how to close Gitmo. So that's breaking right now on Capitol Hill. Yeah.
All right. By the way, so now what's the next thing up the pike? We've got health care coming up the pike, which is not going to be easy. But guess what the president's trying to do again? He's trying to reach out to the other side. Because remember how much they supported him, Jim, on the stimulus? Remember they... Oh, that's right. Nobody. Not one of them. As you recall, he went to them. He actually even went to them to talk to them. And the boner told his caucus he wanted not one vote. He doesn't care what the president said. That's their version of bipartisanship.
Yeah, Michael still bragged about it. Goose egg. Yeah, good job, Republicans. Nothing.
Yeah, good job.
Big old zippity doodah.
Obama's trying again more quietly with a smaller group of moderate Republicans who might be willing to say yes on health care. The goal to try to get some of them to back big ticket items like the health care plan. Rahm Emanuel invited about a dozen or so moderate House Republicans to meet in a small outdoor courtyard just off the West Wing. He acknowledged that even though moderate Republicans might not support Obama's health care plan in the end, he said the White House wanted to maintain an open dialogue through the process and some of their ideas might be included. When did you ever hear that from George Bush on anything? Sure. Delaware Representative, the Republican Mike Castle, said, I believe they're making an honest and overt effort to deal with Republicans. The White House is genuinely interested in resolvable issues. Obama said, by the way, I can't sort of define bipartisanship as simply being willing to accept certain theories of theirs that we tried for 8 years and didn't work and that the American people voted to change. Thank you.
Yeah.
Exactly the point. You know, it's like I'm all for him trying bipartisanship, but that's the problem. It's like that's all the ideas they seem to have are the same ones we've tried for 8 years that got us where we are now.
Less regulation, but no taxes for rich people, and billions and billions to defense spending.
Obama, by the way, made a point the other day. He said, I've had them over to the White House more than they were over in the White House during the Bush administration.
Yes.
Which is true. We have consulted with them extensively. In fact, many of the people said they'd never even seen that area off the Oval Office. These were the Republicans. A White House communications director said, we have never stopped reaching out to the other side. Still, she said at the end of the day, it's up to the congressional Republicans whether they want to work in a bipartisan manner or not. Or give the president, as Michael Steele said, a goose egg. Goose egg for you, brother. And, by the way, for the American people, in the meantime, if we don't do something about health care... 42 minutes after the hour. Been waiting all my life to say it, Chris.
What?
Los Angeles, hello.
Uh-oh.
Larry King, do you have a question? Larry King on the Celebrity Hotline as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I don't get it.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 46 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Well, those of you that listen a lot know that I barely sober up in time to do the show every day, but thank God I don't have to do anything important like interview the best interviewer in the world. Uh-oh, there's someone at the door. Why, who is it, Chris?
It's the author of My Incredible Journey, Larry King.
Oh, no. Good morning, Larry King.
Well, first, Chris immediately makes an error. It's my remarkable journey.
I was looking for my paper. I'm so sorry.
It's not incredible. It's remarkable.
Remarkable
and
journey.
Stephanie, I knew that this morning for me you'd be sober.
Thank you, Larry. I finally
called George Slaughter and told him she's going to be sober this morning.
I finally have you on my turf, Larry.
By the way, Stephanie, when I list my among my favorite guests, you're on the list.
Oh, Larry King, I couldn't be more flustered this morning.
Every time I see that you're on, I'm happy because. You're vivacious, you're lovely, you're funny, and it doesn't matter your opinion. That's one of the things I write about in my remarkable journey.
I'm so sorry, Larry.
It's okay, I'll never talk
Thanks
to you
a lot,
again.
Chris.
Chris, say goodbye.
Okay, bye. Bye, Larry. You're fired.
One of the things I talk about is what you want in a guest is what you have. Patience, the ability to explain what you do very well, passion, and a sense of humor. You have all those things, Stephanie. You're a great guest.
I'm flustered like a schoolgirl, Larry. How do you interview the best interviewer in the world? What would you do if you were me right now?
You ask what you know what you do. You forget all that, and you ask whatever comes to your mind.
All right.
In other words, what about me are you curious about?
See, now I've told this story on the air before. You get me to be a good guest on your show. You sing show tunes to me in hair and makeup. So that's how you...
Correct. I do. I like to sing. Mm-hmm. There are three... If I weren't doing this, I would like to be a stand-up comic, which I'm going to do in Las Vegas, by the way, in June.
Are you really?
At the Encore. Steve Wynn has seen me work at conventions, and I'm going to do two nights.
I'm coming.
My wife, Shawn, is going to open. She sings, great singer, and then I'm going to follow and do an hour of stand-up.
I'm so there.
In Danny Gann's room.
Because you started at, I read that in your book, you started at Sam Maltz's Candy Store doing your stand-up.
Sam Maltz's Candy Store. I did stand-up there. Sam Maltz. We drove him crazy. Drove him to drink, and I think we killed him. I'll tell you a quick story of what we did to Sam Maltz.
Were you either pelted with Werther's if you had
There was a big song at the time, Wild Goose, Frankie Lane.
Uh-huh.
And Sam Maltz used to complain we didn't spend money in his candy store. We sat in the booth, we didn't spend money. The jukebox was a nickel. We all came in with nickels and played Wild Goose all day. And here's how it went. My heart knows where the Wild Goose knows. I must go where the Wild Goose goes. Wild Goose, Brother Goose, which is best? I must go where the Wild Goose. And Sam Maltz started throwing malted machines. And finally, he pulled the jukebox out of he pulled the plug out, slammed it to the floor, and threw us out. Go with your Wild Goose. Go.
Wow. Do you have some stories? Now, you know, here's the thing. I told this on the air once, too, is a listener called and said, I had to miss you on Larry King last night. I was watching baseball. And I said, so was Larry King. Because
that's true. I've watched baseball while you're on the air.
You do?
While I'm talking to you because it's on the monitor.
And you're such a natural at this. They'll be like, Larry, the King Abdullah's coming up. You're like, how are the Dodgers doing? Like, you're just...
Well, that's my passion. That's my avocation. The best way to explain it is what George Will told me once, the great writer George Will. Conservative, but great, Stephanie.
I understand.
Okay. He said, I'll tell you how big a baseball fan I am. If the headline in the Washington Post said, George Will's secret sex life revealed, he said, I would first turn to the Cub box score.
Because, now, you have a famous story recently. You've had your son, your little sons on the set before, but you got thrown out of a Little League game for fighting with an umpire.
Chance, yeah, well, it was embarrassing. But no, not really. I was right. Anyway.
That's the important thing.
There was a forced play at second that was going to end the game. My son's team was winning by 2 runs. And the umpire said nothing. Didn't say safe, didn't say out. I said, call something. He said, I didn't see it. So if I didn't see it, we go back to where we were. We do it over. Do over? Do over? This game counts. Do over. I said, you are nuts. And he said, you are gone. Go back to CNN. I got banned for 2 games.
Wow.
This is how tough they are. Beverly Hills Little League, couldn't go to the game. I had to sit in a car outside the fence and have a friend give me the score to 10-year-olds. I lose it. I can't help it. When I watch my kids play ball, it just kills me.
That, you know, you got to give that umpire, that takes some nads to throw Larry King out of a baseball game, I got to tell him.
Yeah, I've gotten to like him. I've gotten pretty friendly with him. And, you know, I understand he's still not the greatest umpire.
He still sucks. Larry, one of my favorite stories in your book, My Remarkable Journey is the book. You took your kids trick-or-treating and they dressed in Larry King masks and suspenders.
Did. What happened was there was a store in New York that made one year Larry King masks, and it looked like me. And you bought glasses with it, and so they wore suspenders. And going with them was Sharon Stone's little boy, whose birthday is the same age as my 8-year-old, who'll be 9 Friday.
Right.
And so they all went up, rang the bells, Larry King, and I was standing outside. And people looked at them and looked up at them and thought they were crazy.
That's like a Fellini film.
Want a quick Beverly Hills? This is only in Beverly Hills,
yes,
right?
Yes, all right.
My son will be 9 on Friday. Mm-hmm. For he and his friends, they're taking a stretch limo to Dodger Stadium.
Oh.
Just the way we grew up in Brooklyn. me and Herbie and Sid and Asher. We'd get in the limo every week and go see the Dodgers.
Your kid's not having quite the hard scrabble life that you did.
You know what I got to do, Stephanie?
Yeah.
When I come back, maybe next week, I'm going to get up in the morning. I always get up early anyway, take the kids to school. I'm going to come down and sit with you and Chris. How about I come over and do an hour with you?
Oh, boy.
That would be awesome.
Forget, we don't even have to mention the book.
Listen, for me.
Well, maybe.
We will mention the book correctly.
Okay. I'm going to come next week.
Oh, that's like an audience with the Pope for me. Now,
trust me, I'm not the Pope.
I'm flustered again. Now, you started your radio show in Miami out of a deli?
Well, no, I started interviewing out of Pumpernick's, it was a restaurant deli. And the first guest, in fact, there's a picture in the book of me and Bobby Darin. I never knew that picture existed, but he was the first famous person that walked in. He was no one booked him. He came in, and I put him on. I liked interviewing that way. You know, I didn't plan it, and I got to really like him very much. And that it all started at Pumpernick's.
Wow. Now, let me just warn you before you come down here, the food is not quite as good.
Anyway, I got to run, Stephanie. You know, I got guiding light right behind me. But I am making you a promise. I will call you when I get back. I'll be back Saturday. I'll call you Monday. I'm coming over next week, and I'm going to take over.
Yikes.
Oh,
yikes.
Wow.
Just one bit of advice.
Yes.
Chris, stay home.
Okay, I will, Larry. I will.
Okay, Chris. My unusual journey.
My
remarkable life.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you have time for one more question, or you have to go?
Quick, Stephanie.
All right. I understand that Miss California stiffed you. She didn't show up on your show.
She canceled. I didn't know the reason. They didn't give us a reason.
Wow. See, and I just want to tell you, you don't ever. I showed up last time, just so you know. I had swine flu and the Ebola virus. You don't ever not show up for you.
That's right. And you also gave the swine flu to my staff. Thanks
yes,
a lot.
Yes, I apologize. I'm
You'll
sorry.
Never be back.
Hope you're okay. I'll see you next week, Larry. Thank
okay.
you.
Bye.
Yay! Oh, my God.
Wow, that's great.
There he goes, Larry King. I don't know. We'll see if he was, you know, it's not the first time I've been lied to by a man, but he says he'll call me. Let it please be him. He says he'll call and it'll be in Monday.
Oh, dear God, it must be him.
Let it please be him.
Oh, my Larry.
Vicky Carr's a big Larry King fan, apparently.
By the way, speaking of television interviewers, what is the deal with Greta Van Susteren and the Palin family?
Okay, yeah.
This is the weirdest, coziest story.
Did we talk about her thing with Todd Palin?
Yes. She went to the White House Correspondent Dinner with Todd Palin.
And, yeah, she got upset at someone for suggesting that they were an item.
Oh, well. Yeah, and Greta Van, and she had the nerve to say that they ambush interviewed Todd Palin, someone that works on Fox News.
Yeah. And meanwhile, Greta Van Susteren has replayed some of Bill O'Reilly's ambush interviews on her very program.
Didn't she scale the fence at the Vandersloot residence?
I don't know about that, but she certainly.
I think that was an ambush interview.
She certainly advocates ambush interviews when it's on O'Reilly.
Damn liberal media with their ambush interviews.
Check out this story. So,
oh, wait a minute.
In an unusual attempt to forge an alliance between two of the most prominent political families in American politics, Greta Van Susteren's husband urged Sarah Palin to use her PAC money to retire Hillary Clinton's campaign debt.
What?
What?
Yeah, exactly. He's a wealthy trial attorney. What's his name? John Cole. And he's the husband of Greta Van Susteren.
Isn't he part of the Mod Squad? No, it's Michael Cole.
He approached Palin with the plan while he was in Alaska with his wife, who was taping an interview with Sarah Palin. They're getting very cozy.
There is some kind of creepy relationship going on with them, allegedly.
So he was a Clinton supporter during the trial. Oh, he's a Puma. He was a Clinton supporter, and then he switched to McCain.
Great.
So he made his case at the Iron Dog Snow Machine competition. Where Todd Palin was competing, you betcha. His broader aim was to help Palin develop a relationship with the former First Lady, even though she has spent her entire life fighting against everything Sarah Palin is for. In heat that he thought could bolster the polarizing governor's standing with Democrats and independents, Palin wanted to get to know the Clintons, but was skeptical of using her PAC money. She said she'd get back to them on that.
I'll try to find you some and I'll bring them to you.
I'll see if I can get some money for Hillary. He thought the Clintons could rein in some of the Democratic firepower aimed at her. This is the weirdest story ever. A former Clinton aide said he hadn't heard of the plan but deemed it, quote, not rooted in anything that would touch reality.
He must have been high when he watched that Saturday Night Live sketch with
something.
Faye and Amy Poehler.
Okay, it gets weirder.
Really?
Former President Bill Clinton placed a friendly call to Palin after the election.
Oh, I bet he did.
Oh, no.
And Cole sought to use that as an opportunity to play matchmaker.
That skirt looks
really nice. Matchmaker?
He tried to set up a visit between Bill Clinton and Sarah Palin.
That's a good idea.
In Alaska. I don't think that's a good idea. I don't think Hillary would have really been a fan of that. Okay. That's it for us today. I'd like to thank executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, birthday boy, associate producer Rebecca Baker. We'll see you tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.